Today, again, talking about building relationships. And that's why we're sitting where we are. Normally, we don't sit like this. But something you may not know about me is that I'm more of an introverted person. Now, when it comes to talking in front of a big group of people, I actually feel comfortable with that. But if I were to choose my favorite night to relax, to recuperate, it wouldn't be going to a party where a bunch of people where I get to talk to and meet with. It'd probably be hanging out in my house or somewhere I'm comfortable with, I've been to a lot of times, with my wife and maybe one or two other people, or maybe it's just me and my wife, but the one or two other people are people that I know and I have already built a relationship with. Stepping out to strangers is not something that I normally feel comfortable doing. So when I start writing a message on building relationships, it's not very comfortable for me. Because I learn some of my weaknesses, I see some of the things that I probably should be doing a little bit better. And also often when I'm studying and when I'm researching what God has to say about this topic of building relationships, he gives me opportunities to practice what I preach. Which is pretty annoying because, again, it's not my strong suit. It makes me have to step out. So about a couple weeks ago, I was doing my research and doing some studying for this message that I'm giving you today. And then later on in the evening, I heard my neighbor outside working in the garage. And I've been wanting to talk with my neighbor a little bit more. I've been living in my house for about a year, so we've had some conversations here or there over the fence when we're both crossing paths, but nothing really strong. We've even invited them over to hang out and have a fire at our house, but nothing really developed. But this night, I was really looking forward to sitting in front of my TV, doing nothing, and relaxing. But I was studying this earlier on in the day. So I felt like, oh, I should go and start building a relationship with them. So I worked up the courage. It wasn't easy. At one point, I said no in my mind to God. But I decided to get up, go outside. I looked over the fence, and I saw my neighbor's wife, which was really exciting because I didn't feel like I needed to build a relationship with my neighbor's wife. So I went back inside and was like, yes, I got a break. Thank you, God. Just, you know, the most clear praising God that's ever because it was easy. But me and my wife later went out for a walk, and we started watching some soccer. Some people she knew were playing. And so we decided where she was going to continue walking, and I was going to, or watching soccer, and I was going to continue back to the house because she knew the people, and soccer's not one of my favorite sports to watch. So as I walked back, I actually felt the need to pray, ask God for an opportunity to build a relationship with my friend or my neighbor. So as I walked up, I saw them outside, and I engaged them in conversation. Now, I was on the sidewalk at first, and I saw him across, close to his house. He was working on his boat, and I started a conversation with him. But the first thing for me was actually just stepping onto their property. I wasn't invited, and I don't know if that was rude or not. I don't really think so, because we had conversations before. But I was always on my property, on the sidewalk, when we had conversations before. It was my comfort zone. But I felt like I needed to engage him in building a relationship. So I took the steps and I started talking with him. And our conversation kind of seemed to grow, and it was easy at first, which doesn't always happen with me in conversations. And we started talking about how we both came to Campbell River. He shared his story and then I shared mine. I wanted to finish my story and be done with it. But I felt like I wanted to kind of just bring a big piece of my life, which is God, and tell him about that. I didn't want to start it with anything big, so all I said was, so that's why I believe God put me here for a reason. Now, that wasn't super easy for me, but I felt like it was something just to bridge and to tell him who I am as a person. The conversation continued, and we talked about some things that were going on in our lives, and he talked about a struggle and something that he wanted. Now, I wanted to finish that part with, oh, that's too bad. I hope that gets better. But, again, I felt like I wanted to share who I am and also care for him. So what I said was, I'll pray for that. Now, he doesn't go to church. He's not a Christian, and he wouldn't claim to be part of any religion. So that, I don't know if he felt that comfortable or not, but he seemed happy that I would do that because I cared about him. I wanted to see what he was going through and help in any way I could. It wasn't easy again for me to say that. I could have left it. I could have had that same conversation continue, but just without that. Conversation continued further, and we talked about his work, and then we started talking about my work, and I mentioned that I'm giving a message coming up, talking about this one, actually. And he said, so what do you actually speak about? What do you preach about? Or how do you, I think he worded it, so how do you go about figuring out what you preach? So I really want to talk about how I research in the Bible and find a verse, and I see what God wants to speak through me to other people, and how I could even talk about the scholars that I read and the going back to the Greek and all those things. But I don't think that that's what I should have been talking about, even though that was my first inclination, is to go through the analytical. I'm a very logically minded person, so that's what I felt like he was asking. But then I also thought that it would be a better idea to share what I actually believe. So I got to share a conversation about Jesus, how I believe that he's God, how he came to die and rise on the cross, and just so that we could have a relationship with him. So it was a great conversation. And it was a little bit longer than that. I went into a little bit more detail. And it all happened just by step, me wanting to build a relationship with him, being open to my faith, being open to where I am. And he didn't get down on his knees and pray to God to come into his life at the end of the conversation, but I think there are some valuable steps made in both our conversation and our relationship, but also in his relationship with God. The truth is that all of us have relationships that have affected us in one way or another. You've probably had some relationships that have hurt you, but also some relationships that have really helped you, maybe built you into the person you are. Some relationships that might have challenged you, a friend who might have taught you a lesson that you really needed to hear. Maybe you had a good mentor or somebody who just helped guide you through life, or they were a good example to you in one area of life or another. Maybe it was business, maybe it was friendship. So we're in these little groups here today, and I wanted to give you guys actually an opportunity to share with the people in your group a friendship or a relationship that has affected your life. Now, I'm only going to give about 2 to 3 minutes, so you extroverts, don't talk the entire time. I know you're excited. You get to talk in church, but just you can try to give other people a little bit of a chance to talk. If you're an introvert, though, you might be really scared. Don't worry. There's probably an extrovert or two in your group, and you can just be like, oh, tell me more about that, and then just keep watching the clock and be like, oh, shoot, I didn't get to tell you mine. So don't worry. Don't feel forced to share if you don't want to share, but I'm just going to give you guys 2 or 3 minutes to talk about a relationship that has affected you in one way or another. So go ahead. Hopefully you've got to hear a little bit about somebody's life, or you even got to think about your own life, where friendships have really affected who you are now as a person. Because our relationships can really point us in the trajectory of where you're going. Sometimes for really good things, and sometimes for bad things. A saying that I've often heard by one of my favorite preachers, Andy Stanley, is that friendships and relationships help you go further, faster. And hopefully you have some people around in your life that can help you go through what you're going through, help you take you where you want to go, both maybe with your business dreams, in your relationship goals, maybe it's in yourself and you want to become a better person in one way or another. Hopefully you have people that can help you do that. As we talk about relationships today, we're going to be talking about Jesus. Now, we're going to get to a passage but I don't think at this point Jesus had any deep, meaningful relationships. Maybe he did, but it doesn't talk about it in the scriptures. He started to move around and he started to preach God's word and teach many people, and they were amazed at his teaching and what he was saying to people and how he explained the scriptures so well. He also started to do crazy miracles that people were excited to see what he's going to do next. And I'm sure he had some people around him where he knew their names and he would talk to them, but at this point, he didn't have any deep relationships with people. And that's kind of true with lots of people today, is that we may know a lot of people, whether it's through social media or through work, and we can say, hey, how you doing? Good, how are you? And then good, no matter what you're really going through in life. But the truth is that Jesus knew the value of deep relationships. He knew that the deep relationships can help him achieve his goals, but help other people achieve goals as well. So as we get to Mark 3:13 to 14 today, that's what Jesus is actually going through. And what it says is, afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. So when I think of this, there's probably masses of people, and Jesus called a group of that people up part of the way up the mountain. I don't know if that was 70 people, maybe it was 20 people, maybe it was 150 people. But then from that point, he takes 12 of those people. To me, it almost seems like a reality TV show where maybe he got the masses of people to see how much scripture they memorized and take them to the next level of the competition. And then the people there, they had to see who could give the best theology and go up the next. No, I don't think that happened at all. There's no challenges that Jesus to be his friend. But he was calling certain people into deeper relationship. Because the truth is that Jesus couldn't reach the hundreds, the thousands of people that would listen to him as deep as he needed to. So he picked 12. 12 people to accompany him through his life. 12 people to go with him. 12 people to eat with him. 12 people to travel with him. 12 people to have fun with him, to joke with him, to talk with him. Because he knew that the world would be changed after he died and rose again. He knew that he couldn't reach anyone enough if he only met them skin deep. He needed to do life with them. So he put himself in situations where he could teach these people. So he'd give a great sermon, great message to the masses, and they'd be interested in wondering what it meant, but still not completely understand. Jesus couldn't answer questions of 1,000 of people, but he could answer questions for 12. They would ask him questions, sometimes dumb questions, but answers that they needed to know. Jesus taught them different things as they went through different areas, and he'd teach them about how farming is like life and use that as an analogy as they walked by farms, and he'd talk about different things as they went through it in their lives together. We see it over and over and over again because the best way to learn is through what you're going through at that point. Jesus knew what these 12 were going through. He knew about Thomas's doubts. He knew about Peter's brashness and how Peter needed to learn to follow God and follow God's ways above his ways. He knew what everyone was going through so he could teach them on an individual level. And we see this over and over again. They got to watch Jesus how he preached. They got to watch Jesus as he loved other people, as he cared for them, as he listened to the least of these, even though he may have known what was going on in their lives, in their heads. They get to see Jesus care about other people. So these people, again, got to do life with Jesus over and over and over again, got to see him teach, got to see him lead. They got to see Jesus go through his hard times. How Jesus trusted God even though he was being persecuted and he was being tormented and eventually he went to crucified. But that's how they learned. That's how they were taught. To go deeper in a relationship with Jesus, to go up the mountain higher with him so that he can meet them on their individual needs, teach them in their individual ways, and transform them so that they could be the people that Jesus made them to be. Jesus called his disciples to a deeper relationship with him. But he's also called us. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he has enabled us to be in a relationship with him. To go deeper with him, to go higher up on the mountain with him. And Jesus can't teach us all we need to know to be transformed. An hour a week. It needs to be a relationship. If you're meeting with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that is the way that you will be transformed the most into who God has made you to be. Now that may seem weird, that may seem abstract for some of you because Jesus is not the same way as he was 2,000 years ago when he was on the earth. But I'll give you a little thing of what I feel like that's like, to go on a deeper relationship with God. First of all, we can't walk beside Jesus. We can't see how he teaches people. But luckily for us, the friends of Jesus, they did write that down. They wrote it down and it got copied over and over and over again until today it's in our Bibles. So we can see how Jesus interacted with people. We can learn how he loved other people. We can see how he taught other people. The dumb questions that we have, often the disciples already asked those dumb questions to Jesus, so we can read that and go like, okay, that makes sense. Because I have those dumb questions too. Be like, this doesn't make sense. Oh, okay, now I get it. Thanks, Peter, for saying that dumb thing. So I don't have to. Jesus also wants to care for us like he cared for the disciples. He wants to hear about our hurts, our struggles, our pains. And that happens through prayers when we actually talk to him. Because no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, Jesus wants to talk to you to go into a deeper relationship, higher up that mountain, so you can learn to trust him more, so that you can learn to just be the person that you were made to be. Because Jesus does want to transform us. He wants to transform me into a better person. And that happens by both reading my Bible on a daily basis. It's just like you and your friends, you're not going to go on a deeper level if you're not talking with them and hearing from them. God wants to talk to you through his word. Also, a part of going into a deeper relationship with Jesus is following what he says to do. It's not an easy thing that we like to talk about. It's not a comfortable thing to talk about in church, but there is some guidelines to life that Jesus gives us. And in John 15, he says, if you want to remain in me, you must do what I command. Maybe for you, going into a deeper relationship with Jesus is doing what he asks you to do. And not only is that something that might be difficult for us, because it is. It's difficult for me. It was difficult to me to step onto my friend's property to talk to him. But in that, it's what's best for us. I enjoyed my conversation. I started to create a relationship with this other person. So what God, he asks you to do is the thing that will bring you the most joy, you the most purpose, you the most significance. So he's called each of us into a deeper relationship with him. Same with the disciples. But with the disciples, he actually had a purpose for it. I mean, the relationship was amazing, but there was a second part to it. And what it says there is that so he would send them out to preach. He wanted the disciples to go on a deeper level with Jesus so that they could see him, they could learn from him, they could be taught by him. But then he said, all right, now go show that to other people. Show my love to them. Show what I'm teaching you to other people. And the way Jesus showed it to them was through relationship. Because he personally, and Jesus met with these 12 over and over and over again. And Jesus did preach to the masses. Jesus healed a lot of people. But in the book of Acts, I don't really hear about those other people that Jesus preached to on the hillside. I don't hear about how they were transformed by Jesus' amazing teaching. I hear about the ones that he became friends with. Because they went out and they preached. They went out and did what Jesus personally in a deep relationship with him asked him to do. So Jesus got these 12. And later on in Mark, you see Jesus commissioning the 12 to go out and to preach the word, go into different towns, go into different cities to talk about him. So he gave them an opportunity to actually go out and do what he was doing while he was on earth. And I'm sure they came back with things being like, Jesus, I don't understand what happened here. What am I supposed to do? Jesus, I couldn't heal this guy. What do I need to do? And he says, well, you got to pray or you got to have faith. And I'm sure he gave lots of teachings about when they went on their own. But later on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus actually sends out 72 other people. Now, it doesn't directly say this in the scriptures, but what I believe happened is Jesus put one of the 12 disciples in charge of 6 others. Or maybe 2 disciples in charge of 12 others. so that Jesus was not only teaching the disciples to go out, he was teaching the disciples to teach others to go out. Because that's what we see over and over and over again in the New Testament. Is that not only were they teaching people to preach the gospel, you're teaching people to preach the gospel, to teach people to preach the gospel, to teach people to preach the gospel. Paul says to Timothy in a letter to him, he says, teach people to teach people. But what's happening is Paul is teaching Timothy to teach people to teach people. So already there's four lines of people. And Paul actually learned, and he went and talked to Peter and James before to talk about what happened with Jesus. So there's a line already in just one verse of four generations of people being taught to taught to taught to taught. This is the formula of Christianity. And Jesus eventually, he died, he rose again, and then he went up to heaven. And we see the disciples. They're left there alone, not sure what to do, except to do what they saw Jesus do. Go deeper with God. Go deeper with people so that they can preach the gospel. Sometimes these relationships happen pretty quickly, but most of the time what you see is the disciples going into a town, and they're there for years. And then the town was transformed until they had a solid foundation where they were meeting their friends, and households were being changed, and workplaces were being changed, and that's how the gospel spread. And this was the model of Christianity at the time. And it got so big so fast that within about 30 years, it traveled from little Jerusalem to huge Rome, the capital of the biggest empire in history. And in 30 years, Christianity got so big that the emperor needed somebody to blame for a fire that he probably started. This is Nero, if you know the history books. And Nero tried to blame Christianity. And what happened is he tried to kill all the Christians. But this model of people going deeper with God, getting in relationship with people to preach the gospel, could not be stopped. It wasn't just Nero. It happened with emperor after emperor after emperor. Over and over and over again, these emperors tried to stop Christianity because they claimed there was a bigger king, that Jesus was God. And over and over again, these emperors failed and failed and failed. The greatest empire in the world history could not stop Christianity based on this going deeper with God, going deep with people to preach the gospel. And eventually, the greatest empire in history said, you know what, if you can't beat them, let's join them. And they made Christianity the official religion of Rome. And that's now how the Pope first came into play. The world was changed by Jesus going with some 12, not that educated, not that smart, not that talented people, getting deep relationships with them and telling them to do the same. Go deep with God, build relationships with others so that you can preach the gospel. Because Jesus did call the disciples to do this. And he's also called us. He's called us to go deeper with God and in relationship with people to preach the gospel. Now, this happens in every aspect of life. If you're in business, if you want to go far in business, get beside somebody who wants to go far in business with you or a mentor who's already gone far in business. If you want to be a rock star, you got to find somebody who also either has been a rock star or a producer who will help you go along, or some band members that will keep encouraging you. It's also true in our Christian faith. We heard Jerry's awesome story earlier about how he's grown so close with other people, and it's just been great to see Jerry throughout the past year and how excited he is about going deeper with God with other people. And he shares what's happening in his life with other people. I've been blessed by what he's sharing, what he's going and doing with God as he's gone in a deeper relationship with him. And he'll preach what he's been going through to me. So that's why we have all the groups we do in our church. We have community groups. We have the Young at Heart group. If you're not in one of those, I'd highly recommend getting in one. Because if you go with people, you'll go further, faster. And if you want to go deeper with God, you can go further and faster with other people. So this is true both in our church, but it's also true with non-Christians. Many people talk about evangelism, and it's a scary word, but people think it's an event. And I think an event is involved, but more so, it's a process that leads to an event. The process is you getting in relationship with them. The process is you showing God's love for them in practical ways. The process is you caring about what they're going through, praying for them, and starting to do life with them. Just as Jesus took 12 disciples, we can and did life with them, to have fun with them, to eat with them, to travel with them, we need to do the same thing with others. Now, this might be awkward for some of you. Again, if you're an introvert like me, this is not something that might be easy. But I believe that Christianity is about progress, not perfection. So for you, take a step. And that might mean instead of walking straight into your house after a long day of work, you stop and talk over the fence for a couple of minutes. Instead of going on Netflix another time for watching a series over and over and over again, you invite somebody for a coffee. Maybe it's instead, if you're at work, instead of eating by yourself, you go and sit at a table and eat with other people. But God wants us to build relationships with other people so that we can preach the gospel to them. I'll get into that in a second, actually. Because extroverts, you might be thinking that you're doing a great job of connecting with other people. But Jesus met 12. He didn't take 72, he took 12. You're not Jesus, so maybe you can go down to 6 people or something like that. So you're not all invited to my house tonight, I'm sorry. Because then, I won't connect with any of you, really. I may get to know your name, I may get to know your job, but I'm not going to get to know what you're going through. I'm not going to get to hear some of the pain that you might be experiencing so that I can encourage you. And maybe tell you about a time where I went through some of the same pain and how God helped me. So that's what God's calling us to do. So for you extroverts, you can start, keep those conversations with the friends. That's great that you have all the friends and you're easily talk to people. Make sure you're not staying skin deep. We have hundreds of Facebook friends, or we know a lot of people, and we know where they go on vacation, and we know how many kids they have, and we know what they ate for dinner last week. But we don't know what they're going through. We can't help them when they need to see God's love because we don't know. So we need to get into that kind of relationship. But it starts with going deeper with God so that we can show them who God is. We can show them what God has taught us. We can show them who God has transformed us into. And we're not perfect. Christians definitely are not perfect. But God wants to help us take one step at a time there. And that's how we do it. Deeper with God, deeper with people, so that we can go farther. Some of you may feel like you don't know enough about Christianity to tell other people. Well, if you're a believer, then you knew enough for you to believe. So you know enough for somebody to believe in Jesus. And God never has asked all of us to know the entire Bible. He's asked us to tell what he has done in our lives. So whatever has happened to you, you can start sharing that. I actually have a friend that I've started to have some gospel conversations with. And it's just been a couple now, but he actually talked to me last time about some people he was telling about what we've been talking about. And he's already telling people. And I gave him a Bible to start reading, and it was two small letters, so he couldn't really even read that much. So he's barely even read the Bible, and he's starting to share. We can share too. It just takes us taking that step. But Bobby, what happens if they ask me a question that I don't have an answer for? well, first off, you talk about politics and you talk about so many random things that you do not know everything about. And people talking to you, they figure that out really quickly. But I'll let you pretend like you do know everything that's going on. Because there's no one will know everything about anything. And we can start talking about what we do know. And if somebody asks you a question that you don't have an answer for, I have a three-step process for how you answer. I don't know. You can say that. That's it. In fact, Jesus actually says that at one point. Someone asks him, when's the kingdom coming? And Jesus is like, the Son doesn't even know. He's the Son. He says, I don't know. And he's God, and he was the person that he was preaching about. So if Jesus doesn't know everything, you don't have to know everything. Go with what you know. Starts with going deeper with God so you know something. And wherever you are on that mountain, if you're at the mountain peak and you're whatever, you're Billy Graham or you're someone else, or if you just became a believer this morning, you have an amazing story to tell. You've learned that the God of the universe came to die for you so that you can be in a relationship with him. It is the most loving, amazing thing that has ever happened to you. So, the most amazing, loving thing that you can do for other people is help them have the same experience. That's going to look different for all of you. And this has been, this concept is over and over and over in the New Testament. Some of Jesus' last words, right before he goes up into heaven, is said in Matthew 28:19-20. What he says is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he's with us. I think that talks about the deeper relationship. And he will be with you as you're going through these things. You may be fearful, you may be a little scared, but he wants you to take that step. Making disciples happens when you start sharing what you know, sharing how God has been with you. And as you're making disciples, what it says to do is teach everything that he's commanded you. So that's part of it. But what did Jesus just command them to do? Make disciples. That's right. So you were supposed to make disciples who are obeying the command to make disciples, who are hopefully obeying the command to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples. That's why you are a Christian today. It's happened for 2,000 years. If you look at the science and the sociological ways of how Christianity started and how it spread, Christianity should not be a religion anymore. It should have died. The Holy Spirit in you God in you wants to transform your life so that you can tell others about it. The primary way that your friends will come to God is not through this church. The primary way that your coworkers will know about what Jesus did is not through the Bible. Jesus didn't come to earth and make an amazing church service. He didn't figure out the structure in a church. He didn't even write a book, even though I believe the Bible is written, is God's word to us. What Jesus did on earth is he made 12 friends. We need to stop expecting the church to do what God has commissioned us to do. We need to stop expecting other people to do what God has commissioned us to do. Go deeper with God, get in relationships with others so that we can preach the gospel. I don't know what that looks like for all of you. But this week, I want you to take a step. A step in a couple areas. One is I want you to go deeper with God because he loves you so much. He wants to care for you. He wants to transform you. He wants to help you through your trials right now. He wants to use what you're going through for the better for you and the better for his kingdom. So maybe that means reading your Bible, committing to read your Bible a little bit more. Maybe it means to pray more. Maybe it means to commit to follow what he's asked you to do. But this week, I also want you guys to start the process of evangelism, to get in relationships with people, to show them God's love, and put yourself in places where you have the opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you. And invite them to have the same thing happen to them. Jesus changed the world with this. You yourself, you can't change the world. I'm sorry. But what you can do is with your neighbor, you can change their destiny. With your coworker, you can allow God to work through you to change their life. With your family member, you can help encourage them to see a God that loves them even though they've been through so much garbage, they've been through so much pain, through so much trial, and God wants to care for them. But it happens when we go deeper with God and get in relationships with others so that we can share what he has done in our lives. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for each person here. I thank you even more for what you've commissioned each person to do. You have put great adventures, great things in front of them, God, that may be scary for them to overcome, but it's for your glory and their joy. I pray that you'd help each of us just transform into more of who you want us to be this week, not by working hard, but by knowing who you are deeper and you transforming us. But I also pray, God, that each person would start to get in relationships that can show your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.